So glad you guys are here this morning. If you missed it when our worship service first began, we had our new babies born in 2024 up here. We prayed over them, prayed over those families. And to all those parents, whether you're brand new parents or whether you're veterans at this, you know, there's all sorts of things as a parent that just make you proud. And then your son stands on stage and says, LeBron James is the greatest basketball player. And the disappointment that you feel as a parent, that you raised a child like that, I'm just kidding, kind of. So anyway, he did a great job this morning, by the way. I'm really proud of him. We've been talking, as Griffin said, the last few weeks about having a heart check, about looking at our hearts. And not just, you know, getting a physical heart check, obviously, and not even just an emotional heart check. It's more like recognizing, what are the things that are important to me? What are the things that I'm passionate about? What are the things that I value the most? What are the things that matter the most to me? And then asking ourselves, are those the same things that matter to God? Are the things that matter to me the things that matter to Him? Are the things that I value also the things that He values? And maybe flipping that question around and asking the question, well, what about the things that He values? What about the things that God values the most? Do those things matter to me? The things that are most important to Him, are those also the things that I'm most passionate about? If I could look at God's heart, how does my heart match up to His? And that's what we've been challenging ourselves with and asking some really honest questions of ourselves over the last few weeks. You know, we ask, first of all, do I even have a heart for God? Recognizing that God has a heart for me, that God values me, that God is passionate about me. Am I passionate about Him? Do I value Him? Does He matter to me? Does having a relationship with Him matter to me? And then we ask, do I have a heart for other people? Do other people matter to me? When I see people who are in need, when I see people who are dealing with some situation that maybe I can help, does that matter? Does that even register on my radar? When I come across people that I'm working with, or maybe some of my neighbors, or people who have kids in the same school activities that I've got kids in, or maybe even total strangers that I come across and recognize they don't have a relationship with Jesus, or they don't have a church family like I have, does that matter to me? Do I have a heart for those people? Last week, we talked about having a heart for giving. Do I have a heart that's ready to give, that's excited to give? When I'm given the opportunity to give to this church, when I'm given the opportunity to give some of what God has blessed me with back to Him to use to serve other people, do I look forward to that? Am I excited about that? Do I have a heart for it? Or do I do it as an obligation, and do I have to pry my hands open to let go of those blessings? And as we've gone through all these questions and we've kind of wrestled with them together, I hope that these are things that we continue to kind of chew on and wrestle with and answer honestly with ourselves. It's not like we're asking the question like, all right, show of hands, do you have a heart for God? This is about me. This is me looking at my heart. I'm doing a heart check for myself. Where is my heart? What are the things that matter most to me? And do those things matter to my God? And do the things that matter to Him, do those things matter to me? That's what we've been asking the last couple weeks, and we're going to continue to do that today. We're going to ask one more direct question and really kind of see where our hearts are. And the question that we need to answer for ourselves this morning is, do I have a heart for the church? Am I dedicated to being a part of God's church? Am I passionate about being an active part of the church? Does church really matter to me? Because it matters to Him. It matters to God. I mean, He gave His Son's blood. He gave His Son's life for the church, right? The church is precious to Him. It's valuable to Him. You can read in Scripture where it says that the church is God's prized possession, that He loves it so much. We are so valuable to Him as a body of believers. Does the church matter to me like it does to Him? Am I passionate about the church? And to be clear, I'm not just talking about just showing up for church. And I'm not talking about just attending church. Am I passionate about walking in the door every Sunday or whenever there's a church activity. I'm not just talking about that. That is important. But I'm talking about commitment. I'm talking about having a passion for the church, being devoted to the church. Because here's the deal. God calls me. God calls me to be passionate about my fellow believers. God calls me to be passionate about his church, to move beyond just going to church and choosing to be a part of the church. He says this through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Be devoted to one another. Think, what does that conjure up in your mind when you see the word devoted? Be devoted to one another. Be committed to each other. Value each other. Be fully engaged and passionate about each other. Paul, and who's Paul talking to here? When Paul says this, when Paul says, hey, you guys need to be devoted to one another. You need to be devoted to each other in love. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to the unchurched. He's not talking to people who aren't part of the church yet. He's not talking to people who are just kind of thinking about considering Jesus and considering giving their lives to him and considering possibly being a part of the church. He's talking to the already saved. He's talking to those who have experienced the grace of Jesus for themselves and also experienced what it's like to be a part of a community of people who have that same faith and that same desire. He's talking to those folks and he says, what? You guys that have experienced grace and freedom and forgiveness and love and compassion and hope in Christ, you guys need to be dedicated, committed to each other. That's what God calls us to do. And my question for myself and my question for you is, does that describe how I feel about church? Does that describe how I feel about church? Do I have a heart for the church? Now, you might even ask the question, well, I mean, do I have to be a part of the church to be saved? Can't I be saved without being a part of a church? Yeah, I guess you can. Because it's the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. It's not the church that does that. We're called to put our faith in the name and the grace of Jesus, not in the name of the church. So, yeah, you could have your sins washed away and not be a part of the church. But can I fully experience the life that Jesus came here and lived for and died for and rose again for? The life that he came to give me, the life that he calls me to, the life that he hands to me freely. Can I fully experience that without being committed to church? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Being a part of a church and being committed to church is vital to my living in the life that Jesus has given me and living out my faith. When I don't have a heart for church, when I'm not devoted to the church, I'm missing out on the blessing of the church. And here's why. At least one of the reasons. One of the reasons why church is so important and why it should mean so much to me is because the church is where I find healing. The church is a place to find healing. It's a place where what's broken can get fixed. It's a place where whatever is hurting can be restored. Now, I think we need to acknowledge that sometimes the church has been the source of hurt. I mean, let's be honest. Some of us in this room, some of us online, have experienced hurt because of the church. Something was said, something was done. We were treated in some certain way by people who wore the name of Christ and were part of a church. And we experienced some hurt and some pain in some way because of it. I'll be really honest with you. I've personally been hurt by people in the church in painful ways before. And I've been the one to say things or do things that I know have caused people hurt and given the church kind of a bad name. So I want to acknowledge sometimes the church itself is the source of pain. That doesn't that doesn't take away the fact that the church is where you find healing. That's one of the things that God created it for. I have, even in spite of our flaws and our mistakes and our shortcomings, I have witnessed incredible healing take place in the lives of so many people because God used his church to heal what was broken. I've seen people healed of guilt and depression and addictions, and I've seen broken marriages healed and broken friendships restored and broken families brought back together. I've seen people relieved of their hopelessness and their anger and their resentment. I've seen people be healed from hurting hearts and from loneliness and despair. I've witnessed it. Not just receiving that healing from God, but God using his church to help restore and to heal whatever's broken. I've seen it multiple times. This is a place where healing happens. Because that's what we're called to do. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. And if you go back to the ancient Greek language that this particular verse was originally written in, and you look at the meaning of that word that we translate as restore, that word means to mend or knit something together. It was used in ancient Greek times to talk about repairing nets that were broken when people were fishing out in the sea or knitting together a hole that had torn in a garment. And that's the kind of image that Paul gives us here in Galatians chapter 6. Folks, when you see something that's broken in somebody else's life, especially those of us in the church, you guys work together to help heal that, to mend it, to restore whatever it is that's torn and broken. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be, and that's what the church can do. James says this in James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. Sin and guilt and consequences cause a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. Where do I find healing for that? The church. When I choose to let my guard down and I choose to be honest about what's hurting, and maybe it is sin that I've committed, or maybe it's consequences that I'm dealing with from sins of the past, or maybe it's sins of other people that have caused me pain. If I share that with the church, what's the promise? Healing takes place. Why does it matter if I'm passionate about the church, if I value the church, the church means something to me? One reason is because church is where I find healing. Another reason is the church is where I find connection. It's where I find a place to belong. And in a world and a culture that seems to be becoming increasingly isolated and divided, one of the biggest needs that each of us has is community, is people to have relationship and connection with. And that's what God wanted for us from the beginning. If you go all the way back to the beginning of your Bibles, the first book of the Bible in Genesis, and you read about God creating the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it, and he creates mankind, and then you know, he's got this man that's kind of by himself. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. We're not designed to be by ourselves. We are handcrafted creations of the creator of the universe. And part of what he created us for was relationship and connection with each other. We need that. That's part of our natural needs as human beings. It's part of what God created us with a need for. And one of the greatest gifts that God has given us to find support and to find help and to find relationship and to find connection is the church. We need each other. I need you. And you need me. If for no other reason than just to fill that need for connection and relationship. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He goes through a whole list, or I guess a whole discussion of the body. He compares the church to the body. And he talks about these different parts. And he talks about how kind of the body functions and how there are no unnecessary parts. That even the smallest parts, even the smallest ligaments and cells and sinews, they all matter. I need every part of my body for it to function the way that it's supposed to. And when there's a part that doesn't work, that hurts the whole body, not just that one particular part. And then he says this in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Every part of the church is needed in the church. Every member of this body, we're necessary. We're vital. We need each other. Every one of us has a purpose and a function. And I need for you to fulfill that function. And you need for me to do whatever it is that God has gifted me with the ability to do. We need each other. I need the church. And the church needs me. We need to be connected with each other. Another reason the church should matter to me is because the church helps me stay on my mission. The church helps me stay on mission. As a saved believer in Jesus Christ, as a disciple and a follower of him, as a citizen of his kingdom, I have a mission. I have an assignment. There's something that I'm supposed to be. There's something I'm supposed to do. We are surrounded on a daily basis by people who have bought into the lies of this world. They've been convinced that possessions and pride and addiction and retaliation and selfishness and lust, that those things will actually provide joy and fulfillment and meaning in their lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Paul says people who don't have a connection with God and haven't been set free from their sin and haven't been set free from the guilt of the choices that they made in the past, they're blind to the light of God. They can't see how good it is to be connected with God because they bought into the lies of this world. They bought into the belief that there's something better. But then Paul goes on to say, knowing that, if we believe that that's true, that there's so many people in this world, so many people around us who are walking around blind and can't see the life that they could have, we have a mission in response to that. Go down two more verses to verse 6. Paul says this, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. We are the source of light that a dark world desperately needs. That's our mission. Our purpose is to run to the light, to run to the darkness with the light that we've experienced, with the light that we have in Christ, to shine his light into their dark world. That is our mission. That's not just the mission of the preacher. That's not just the mission of the church staff. That's not just the mission of the elders. That's not just the mission of the extroverts who like to have conversations with people. That's the mission of all of us. Have you experienced the light of Christ in your life? Have you experienced what it's like to be completely free and to live in light instead of darkness and to live in hope instead of despair and to live in joy instead of chaos and anger and confusion? Do you know what that's like? Awesome. Go show that to somebody else. That's our mission. And the church helps me do that. The church helps me stay on that mission. Being connected with the church empowers me to go be light in this world. Being connected to other people who are also living in the light of Christ, that motivates me and it encourages me. It strengthens me. It gives me the skills and the words and the attitude that I need to go and be light. That's my mission. The church helps me do that. The church helps me stay committed to that when I stay committed to the church. See, it matters. It matters if I have a heart for the church because the church matters. This world needs the church. This world needs the church. And because this world needs a church, I need to be dedicated to it. So how do I know? How do I know if I have a heart for church? I mean, I like coming to church. I like at least some of the people here. How do I know if I have a heart for it? Well, let me give you a quick self-test. Just a handful of questions. You can write these down. You can screenshot them or whatever. Just maybe even ask yourself later. Some questions that I can ask myself, but I need to be honest with the answer. Do I only see church as something that I go to or something that I'm a part of? Now, don't get me wrong. I use phrases like, I'm going to go to church. Let's go to church. Raise my kids that way. We're going to go to church. And I don't think that's a bad thing, okay? But do I only see church as just something that I go to, maybe on a fairly regular basis? Or do I see church as something that I'm a part of? If I only see church as something that I go do and not something I'm a part of, then I don't have a clear picture of what the church is really all about. And I'm not going to be fully devoted to something that I just periodically show up for. It needs to be something I'm a part of. I belong to this body. I'm a vital part of this body. It's not just something that I go do. It's something I'm a part of. Another question, do I see opportunities to volunteer at church or with church folks? Do I see those as an obligation or as an opportunity? When I discover there's an opportunity to volunteer at church or to get together with some other folks from church and go do something for other people outside these walls, out in our community, am I excited about that? Do I say to myself, man, what an awesome opportunity. What great potential for me to go and do something in the name of my God and with other church folks. What an opportunity. What a chance. Or do I groan about it, sigh about it, see it as a chore, hope that other people show up so I don't have to, hope that other people sign up so that I don't have to put my name on the list? Do I see chances to volunteer as an obligation or as an opportunity? Do I approach church as a consumer or a participator? I looked it up. Participator is an actual word, okay? So that's not just something I made up. Do I see church as, or do I view church, approach church as a consumer or as a participator? Because there's a difference. If I approach church as a consumer, a consumer is just expecting to be served a certain product. I am consuming whatever it is that you put out for me to consume. A participator is someone who joins in the mission. Someone who participates, someone who catches the vision. And someone who as a consumer says, what's in it for me? If I come to church, what's going to happen for me? What's going to bless me? What's going to make me feel good? What's going to entertain me? Now, don't get me wrong. I feel like the church should be a place where our needs are met. I feel like church should be a place and a bunch of people that you like being around. And I think we should look forward to worshiping together and being together and studying together and serving together. But the ultimate question of a consumer is, what's in it for me? But someone who's participating, a participator, the question for them is, what can I do to help? How can I move this forward? How can I catch hold of this mission and this vision? You see the difference? So when it comes to church, am I more of a consumer? Or am I catching the vision, the mission? Am I actively participating? If I have a heart for the church, if church really matters to me, then I'm going to view it as something I'm a part of. I'm going to look forward to opportunities to serve and to volunteer. I'm going to participate as much as I can. So if I'm being honest with myself and I think to myself, I'm not sure that I have a heart for the church. I like church. I'm not sure that it matters to me. But I want that. I want to have a heart for church. I want it to be something that I'm passionate about. How do I do that? Let me very quickly give you some things to get the ball rolling. One, same thing we talked about every week as we've gone through the series together. Ask for it. Pray to God for it. God, please give me a heart for your church. God, please help me catch the vision. Please help me feel like this is something that I want to be a part of, not just something that I go do. Move my heart. Give me a new heart if necessary, God, but give me a heart for your church. Again, the promise from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 is if you ask for it, he'll give it. Ask for it. Seek and you'll find it. Knock and the door will be open. Ask God for a heart for his church. Number two, choose to show up. I thought you said it wasn't all about attendance. It's not. But let's be honest. Having a heart for the church, making a consistent effort to be together with my fellow believers when we worship and when we serve and when we help and when we pray, to get involved in a connection group, to be a part of this church, I've got to show up for that. I actually need to be there to be a part of it. And that's going to help me be more devoted to the church. If I just make a habit of showing up for things that are going on at the church. Let me give you the way the author of Hebrews put it. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 24, he says, "Let's consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Now, let's stop right there for a second. The author of Hebrews says, we need to be doing good stuff. We need to be in the habit of doing good deeds for each other and for our community. So let's get together and let's encourage each other to do that. Let's figure out ways that we can get each other excited about serving and excited about helping and excited about volunteering and excited about meeting needs. But then he goes on and says, here's a very important piece of that. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What's one of the ways that you can encourage me to go out and be the people that God has called us to be? What's one of the ways that I can encourage you to be who it is that God is calling you to be and to use the gifts that God has given you to use? What's one of the ways to do that? We show up. We meet together. We spend time with each other. Because when I become passionate about getting together with you, we get passionate about going out and doing the mission that God has called us to. So if I'm struggling to have a heart for the church, then I need to start just showing up. Be a part of it. I need to also choose to participate. I need to choose to volunteer. I need to choose to give. I need to choose to teach. I need to choose to host people in my home. I need to choose to greet people when they first walk in the door. I need to choose to stick around and clean up after church activity. I need to choose to be a part of what's going on, to actively participate in it. Because the more that I choose to participate in furthering the mission, then the more I will be committed to the mission. The more that I'm involved in the kingdom, the more devoted I will be to the kingdom. So Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 10 he says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. Two truths that Peter reveals here. One, we've all been given the ability to do something. If you're a believer in Jesus, you've given your life to him, you've been baptized into his name, you have his spirit living in you, you've been gifted with the ability to do something. Maybe lots of things, maybe one thing, but you've been gifted with the ability to do something. That's truth number one. What's truth number two? You need to use that gift to bless other people. Be active with it. Choose to participate. I'm going to help. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to use what God has gifted me with the ability to do, even if it stretches me out of my comfort zone, even sometimes if it's something I've never tried before. I'm going to do it. I'm going to participate in it. because I have a heart for his church. And the last one, it may seem out of place, but I think it may be one of the more vital ones. So I need to choose to love. I need to choose to show kindness and compassion, to put other people's needs above my own, and choose to forgive, even when that may not come naturally. And for some of us, we think to ourselves, well, I can do that. I can love, you know, coworkers, or I can be kind and compassionate to total strangers. And maybe one of the places that we find it most difficult, this is odd, but it's the truth. One of the places that we find it most difficult to show compassion and to show forgiveness is in the church. People have rubbed us the wrong way. People have said the wrong thing to us. People have mistreated us in some form or fashion inside the church. And because of that, we choose to hold on to that. And we choose to view those people through the lens of their past mistakes and our judgment of it. That doesn't help us at all. And it definitely doesn't give me a heart for the church. So what does John say? John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. That is the ultimate picture of love. That Jesus left his throne of heaven and came down to this earth and sacrificed his life, gave up eternity to be mortal, gave his life to experience death, gave up freedom from pain to experience excruciating pain, gave his blood to wash us clean. That is the ultimate picture of love. But what does John go on to say after that? And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If I love you, I will be, as we said at the beginning of our time together, I will be more devoted to you. Paul said, be devoted to one another in Romans chapter 12. Be devoted to one another in what? Love. If I truly have a heart that says, I want to sacrifice myself for you, that will move me to be passionate about the church, to be committed to the church, not just to showing up at church, but to be a part of it. So we need to be committed to the church. It needs to matter to us because it matters to God. And I'll tell you this. We need people to help us teach our Bible studies. We need people to be greeters out in our lobby to show people who show up here for the first time not just what an awesome church family Flagstone is, but what joy we have because we are in a relationship with God. What it looks like to be a part of his kingdom. We need people who are willing to do what we prayed about this morning when we had these babies up on stage. We need people to go back in our children's ministry and teach those kids and rock babies and read them stories and give them snacks. Why? Because we want them to experience the truth of God's love and to see it on display through us. And to be a part of the foundational elements of faith in the life of a child, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? We need people who are willing to volunteer for different activities. We got our Jackrabbit 5K coming up pretty soon. We're going to need volunteers for that. How in the world can me standing on the side of the road and clapping for runners and saying, go, run fast, how does that fulfill the mission? Well, you know what we do with all the money that we raise from that race? We buy shoes for people that don't have them. You know what people get to experience while they're running or walking a 5K? They get to see in us joy. Not just because we're standing on the side and not running, but because we love this church family. And we love them and we care about them. We want them to see in us the joy that we've experienced from our God. Do you see what I'm saying, folks? We need you. Not just to participate because we're guilting you into it, but to join in our mission because you're devoted to it too. I know I need to wrap up, but I want to end with this. And probably you've heard me mention this before, but it's on my heart to share with you this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, these verses won't be on your screen, but in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he's asking them who everybody thinks that he is, and they're giving these different answers, and then he says, well, who do you think that I really am? And Peter steps forward and says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the one that I believe that has been promised to us for centuries, that was going to come here and set us free. And Jesus says, you're exactly right. And I'm going to build my church on that fact, on that truth. And he goes on to say right after that, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Years ago, I heard a guy speaking at a youth rally one time. He talked about that verse, and he opened up my eyes to something that I probably should have seen long before and just never had. But he said, you know what you don't do when you go run into battle? You don't take gates with you. You don't pull the gates off of your city and take them with you to go fight a battle. What are the gates for? They're to protect your city, right? So when Jesus says the gates of hell will not be able to stand up against the church, what is he saying? Not that we hunker down behind our gates and hope that Satan doesn't win. What is Jesus saying? The church is on the move. The church is on the attack. The church is going to conquer the gates of hell. Do you believe that to be true? Because I do. When we choose to be committed to the church, Jesus says nothing's going to stop us. Satan himself can't stop us. He's got a kingdom of darkness and despair and guilt and sin, and through the power of Jesus, the church can attack that and bring light to the darkness and hope to the hopeless and freedom to the prisoners. Don't you want to be a part of that? Not just show up at it. I mean, I want to participate in that. I want to be a part of that. Don't you? So let's go be that, folks. Let's be committed to the church. Let's have a heart for the church. And let's not only watch, but join with God in conquering the kingdom of Satan. We're going to stand up in just a second, and we're going to sing a song together. And the song is really a prayer to God, talking about our need for a connection with him. Because quite honestly, it's really hard for me to be committed to his church. It's really hard for me to have a heart for his church if I don't have a heart that's connected with him. And so when we stand together, when we sing that song together, if there's something in your life that has caused you to become disconnected from our God, then you're invited to come down here to the front and share that with us. And not to do that in a way that, you know, like, for us to judge you or criticize you for whatever mistakes you made, but just to be honest, this is what's going on in my life, and I'm disconnected from God, and I don't have a heart for him, and I want it. Man, we will surround you with love. We will surround you with prayer. We will do whatever we can to help you find not only healing, but the power to start living a brand new life. But as we're singing this song, if you recognize, I haven't had a heart for church in a while, maybe ever. And I want one. And I want this church to pray for me to have a heart for it. You're welcome to come forward and share that with us too. And believe that God's going to answer that prayer. If you don't move an inch from where you're standing while we're singing, would you be honest with yourself and with our God? Do I have a heart for his church? And what do I need to do different if I don't? If this church can help, we want to. So please come forward while we stand and sing.